No bottom yet for housing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's hard to believe, but we're approaching 2 years of falling home prices, at least according to the Case-Shiller Housing Index. We got the latest index this morning for May. Prices fell 16% compared to a year ago. And for the second straight month, not one of the 20 cities saw prices increase. The overall index has not had an increase since August of 2006. The biggest drops came in Las Vegas and Miami, 28% each. The bank losses aren't going away either. More red ink from Merrill Lynch this morning. But the bank does have a plan to get rid of its toxic assets. Sell $30 billion worth at just 22 cents on the dollar. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
In addition to its fire sale of debt, Merrill will also take a $5.7 billion write-down in the third quarter. The company says it's tied to additional losses on the sale of, what else, mortgage securities. According to mortgage banking consulting firm Wholesale Access, banks have already written off about $450 billion in bad mortgage debts. That sounds like a lot, but the firm's managing director, Tom LaMalfa, says we're only halfway through a $1 trillion subprime mortgage crisis.
Because that's the amount of non-prime mortgages that have been written since 2005. And since we think there's a reversal going on in property values, there has been the disappearance of all that equity.
LaMalfa is not sure government regulators can do much to stem the ongoing losses. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Merrill Lynch's stock fell 11% yesterday. The Dow dropped 240 points, about 2%. So maybe Wall Street will get a bounce today. So far, a little bit of gain. The Dow is up 43 points to 11,174. The NASDAQ has added 18, and the S&P 500 is up 4 points. In Asia today, the markets closed 1% to 2% lower. European shares are mixed so far. The dollar gained some value, so oil is down another couple bucks to $123 a barrel. What do you get when you cross a French company with an American one? Well, in this case, a disaster. Alcatel-Lucent has had 6 quarterly losses in a row. And today, the company said CEO Pat Russo will be leaving in October. You might remember when she came to Paris a couple years ago with the merger, she had a little too much American bravado for French tastes. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard has more.
The marriage between Paris-based Alcatel and Lucent Technologies of New Jersey has not been a happy one. Since they joined forces, the share price has fallen 50%. Matt Hatton is with the telecom research group Analyst Mason.
The nitty-gritty of stitching these two companies together has proved to be more than they were anticipating, and they haven't really managed to exploit the economies of scale that were presented by such a mega merger.
Meanwhile, the market for fixed-line telecom equipment has been difficult with fierce competition from the Chinese. Today, investors welcomed the departure of Alcatel-Lucent's chairman and chief executive. The share price rose 6% on the news. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Speaking of mergers, Sirius and XM said this morning they have completed their deal. The new company will be called Sirius XM Radio, and it will be the second largest radio company with 18 million subscribers. No changes in price or programming that we know of yet. The company's stock will be traded on NASDAQ.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
The Beijing Summer Olympics are just 10 days away. For some American companies, this is the marketing opportunity of a lifetime. The Olympics, plus a host country of 1.3 billion people. But selling to China is by no means a no-brainer. Recent history is filled with stories of American failures in the Chinese market. Our reporter in Shanghai, Scott Tong, has a few lessons.
Lesson number one in what not to do in China? Build it the American way and assume they will come. China market research founder Sean Rhines says take eBay. He says it assumed incorrectly a big hand-me-down market in China.
There's an aversion in China to buying used products. People think, you know, old is old. It's not antique. They don't think it's a good deal. It means that you're poor.
The key in consultant speak is to localize, make your product relevant. Ryan thinks the world's top brands don't do it very well.
They were so successful in their home markets, and they know the secret sauce in America, but they're not willing to change. You know, Walmart, Google, McDonald's.
All right, Sean, just cross off those potential clients from your list. Anyway, back to localization.
On the other hand, you can take it too far.
Here's Paul French of the consultancy Access Asia.
The Kit Kat brand of chocolate did a watermelon-flavored Kit Kat. Chinese people, although they love watermelon, decided that watermelon-flavored chocolate was actually a pretty disgusting combination, and so they rejected that.
French says multinationals have also tripped over themselves, figuring out how much to charge. If you go bargain basement, you're dead.
Don't get into a fight with the Chinese on price, because you cannot win. General Electric, when they first came into China, tried to sell light bulbs. Why on earth would you try and compete with the Chinese on light bulbs? Chinese can own the light bulb market. It's generic, it's non-branded, it's cheap as chips.
And then there's timing. When to land in China. Come too late and the market's already saturated. But John Chen of China Street Smart says don't come too early either. You might want to let the competition move in first and botch things on their dime.
If you take German beers and Dutch beers and Japanese beers, a lot of them tend to be a little heavier. Now, a lot of them figured out 5 to 6 years into it that Chinese generally liked lighter tasting beers.
Enter lighter tasting Budweiser, which he says hopped in, if you will, at the right time. In general, Chen thinks the major multinationals committed the biggest errors all the way back in the 90s. In other words, they've cleared the hazardous minefield for the new entrants, at least those smart enough to watch where they step. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.